My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now.
Peterson, I don't think you believe either, right?
No.
Sure. Do you have an argument that states that there was once nothing?
So when I look around everywhere, everything has a maker. Something
right. It's
has
almost like I asked a question. Does your argument necessitate that there was once nothing? Chet, thank you for the money gun.
Was once nothing?
Yeah.
No, there's always something.
I agree. Yeah, we both agree. So I guess we don't have to have that argument. I don't think there was ever nothing.
Right. Yeah. Why not universe be thing always?
Universe be things always.
Yeah.
Be. So I was just trying to be a little bit silly, but why yeah. Can the universe not be the thing that's always been there?
It can. That can be
oh,
true.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is that like everywhere that I look, there's always a maker. Something made something.
Kind right? of.
This couch was made. TV was made by something. Right? So you know where I'm going with the question.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about stuff that we know is intentionally structured. Like there's teleology in those things. But you're not pointing to nature when you point to any of those things. But I don't see teleology or anything being created. I don't see anything being created literally at all in nature.
You don't think anything's been created in nature?
No.
No, things get rearranged into new forms, but in terms of creation, no.
So how would you explain creation? Just by the evolution?
Oh, it doesn't exist. There's no creation.
I guess my question is, well, how is everything made?
Sure. So I think the thing is, uh-huh. in like a classical theistic tradition or a Christian tradition or whatever, mm-hmm. this creation of everything is there was once literally nothing except God or the Word or the Logos yeah. or whatever it is they decided to believe. And then through that, all the stuff around us was created. Now, what you're doing is you're pointing, like if we look at nature and we say things, you know, appear, like at one time, you know, there's a tree out there. At one time, that tree was not there, but it wasn't created out of nothing. It's there is a sort of creative process in nature, but none of it is creating things from nothingness, which would be the only kind of supporting evidence for this type of creation that is in the traditional religious sense. But we don't have any of that, so it's a apples and oranges comparison.
I hear what you're saying. I guess what I'm saying is that when I look around, even in nature, everything has a design.
It doesn't.
Sure. It does. Well, I mean, like, it does, but it doesn't.
Everything works in harmony with each other.
Sure, because we all evolve together, right? So, like, is the mud puddle in my backyard designed?
Well, the water was designed. The hole was designed. You know, the earth was designed. Yes.
So can you think of one thing that's not designed then?
No, I don't think I.
If you can't distinguish between something that's designed and something that's not designed, then why would I trust you in saying that literally everything is designed?
Because the evidence around us speaks to that truth.
It doesn't.
Everything that I see.
But this is just circular reasoning. The things around us are designed, and that's the evidence that they are designed. Yeah. So what you want to try to look for here is what they call it a symmetry breaker. So if you want to be able to convince us that these things are designed, then you have to be able to show us what things that aren't designed look like. But if you doth proclaim that everything is designed, then it's kind of like the weird thing where it's like, if everything is a blank, then nothing is a blank.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I can't come up with something that is not designed, but I get your logic and where you're going with the conversation. I don't have a good come back for that, but I see where you're going with that.
Right.
But, sure.
Yeah.
Well, Vin, not to derail the conversation, but let me, you know, Planet Peters and I have been doing this for a while, and, you know, just because you sound like a really nice guy, and this probably isn't the first or the last time that you're going to come into these conversations.
Yeah.
Just know that the argument that you're making for God right now is usually the first argument that atheists hear and maybe one of the weakest. There are probably better arguments you could come up with that might be more compelling.
Hey, that's a good point. So what would be a good compelling argument that you've heard that they're designed?
I was going to say before that, but then it sounds like this is kind of on the same track. What you would want to do, I think, rather than just claiming, I look around, everything's designed, therefore it's designed.
Yeah.
What you'd have to do is tell us what would something that is designed look like? And then we could maybe discuss if there's a need to invoke God for anything we see around us, I suppose.
So to answer your question, let's take a look at the eyeball or eyeball, how we see things.
Yeah.
Yep.
That our heartbeat, everything that, you know, our body, you know, that to me, is the biggest proof, I think, that there's a design or a designer or a maker.
Right. But how do you connect the eyeball to the maker? Right. You're just saying eyeball, therefore maker. What's the linkage?
Oh, okay. So let me dive into it because it's so complex, right? Mm-hmm. The eyeball itself just how our pH system works within our body. Right, how we digest food. Like those things are so scientific, you know, that it's so complex and complicated that it would have to have a designer.
Why?
To have everything work in unison. Because everything works in unison. Everything works perfect.
You're just stating claims. You're not actually giving the linkage.
No, the linkage is that it's such a complex, our bodies are so complex that it would take a designer or a maker to create that because it's so complex.
It would take
a thinker, something like that too.
You're just claiming that complex items need a creator. Why?
Because it's complex.
So what?
That's the reason.
That's not actually substantiated. Justify that.
I can't go into the biology of it because I don't know, but I'm just giving you a broad example of what the point I'm trying to make.
We've got a guy here who knows biology pretty well.
Go ahead.
A little bit. Okay. So these are, this is like what we call an irreducible complexity argument is for the most part. And these fall apart for a lot of reasons. It's like you talk about the human systems and it would have to be designed because they all work together, so on and so forth. But like we know for a fact, we can remove one thing at a time and find out that actually life completely works without these things. It's like, for example, we're mammals. So is the platypus. The platypus doesn't have a stomach. That animal doesn't. So we've literally removed something from the system that is supposed to be all interconnected and is too complex to not be designed. But apparently the design can be monkeyed with or platypused with in a way, and it still functions. Or we can go a lot more extreme than that and look at like a jellyfish. They don't have blood. They have a nervous system, but they don't really have a central nervous system. They don't really have a muscular system. They don't have an immune system, at least not that I'm aware of. They're lacking in so many things.
Right.
So. But also, like another really, so there's the part that we can delete things from the system and still works. Another problem is that we're fully aware that human biology is deeply flawed in many ways, and we've come up with all kinds of technologies to deal with those flaws. So if we are the product of some perfect designer, then why are we capable of improving its design?
I'll answer that question, but then Yeah, I'll answer that question, and then I'll go back to your jellyfish example. It's just intelligence. We evolve to fix issues or problems. That would be my answer. But go back to your jellyfish example.
Well, I don't know if that actually addresses the question. The question is not about why we're intelligent. The question is, why is it that we're able to improve on a design that theoretically would have been perfect? Because if God made us, we shouldn't be able to improve on it with our lack of intelligence.
Because, like, when you say it's so complicated that that necessitates a certain type of powerful creator, the exact same logic there implies that if we can point to flaws in the creation, then that really undermines the nature of the creator that you're trying to sell to us. At least he'd seem kind of like a sadistic jerk if that's the case.
Yeah,
when I played Roller Coaster Tycoon when I was a kid, I would make roller coasters all the time that didn't connect. So it would literally take you up, and then it would go down, and then it would start to go up again. But the roller coaster would just end, and all the little roller coasters would go, and they exploded, and you would hear people screaming. And 10-year-old Eric thought that was really, really funny. But anyways.
I 1,000,000% believe that.
Yeah. So I want to go back to your jellyfish example and your platypus example. You said that doesn't have a stomach or nervous system or blood, but yet it still exists, right, in this in the ecosystem of everything. So it was designed for that purpose, whatever the purpose is. Same like with a platypus. So I point back with your argument that, you know, if we take something out of the design, it still works. It does still work because everything works together. And again, that proves my point.
Let me ask you a question about the design, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Why do humans need glasses?
Because we're able to see better with glasses.
Right, but why did God create human beings in which their eyeballs would need glasses if we were competently designed?
Well, we're designed with, it's just like anything else, there's wear and tear.
Why? My twin brother had glasses when he was like 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Really little kids get glasses.
Yeah, but that's just the nature of life.
Right. God created that. That's what I'm saying is when I look at this, like what you call design, I don't find design. Mm-hmm. I find, entities that evolved out of chaos, which is why, you know, children are born with bone cancer. People need glasses. People are sometimes born missing limbs because the universe doesn't actually care about us. But like if there's a God that cares about us, it's really weird that he would create us to like have all these issues and then like put us on a planet where 100,000 people a year are killed in natural disasters and like 3 million children die of starvation.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, that's just through the natural cause of sin.
So why?
I was wondering when it would get there.
You knew that was the next thing. Yeah. So why do you think that sin requires God to make like a terrible design? Why, like, just because Adam and Eve sinned doesn't mean that God needed to like shit the bed on the earth.
When you're talking about something that's perfect, like God is, where am I going with this?
Take your time. We're here tonight.
So there needs to be justice if there's sin.
Right, but natural disasters aren't justice. They indiscriminately execute people at random.
Right, but when you read a book, you don't read the book starting at, you know, chapter 50. You read the book when it starts at chapter 1.
Right.
So the first part of that answer would be the fall.
Right, but why did God have to create natural disasters after the fall?
That's just the natural course of how, you know, what he wanted out of it.
Because he decided, God decided that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit that he's going to create natural disasters. But that's inconsistent with an all-loving deity.
Well, it's all-loving. But the second part of that is that he's just.
He's not. If he randomly maims and execute people at random, he's not just.
Vin, so like, for example, if somebody, like, if I torture you for your whole life, and then one day, 30 years down the road, I say, you know what? I'm the only one that has the power to make this decision, but I'm going to let you go. I don't think you would agree that I get the credit for ending your misery. It's like, it's true in the most bizarre sort of sense. I mean, it's literally true, but to call me then good for doing that, I don't think is tenable. And I think what you're trying to sell us here is the suffering is the justice comes from the sacrifice on the cross and the promise of eternal salvation. But that was done. That's God ending the punishment that he deliberately designed this world to inflict on us. And so this is, we find this to be a very bizarre and really kind of contradictory rebuttal to this, this is sort of the problem of evil is what we're discussing here.
Yeah.